trying to fit at least one or two in on a weekend, if not once a weeknight. But yeah, haven't really been pushing anything but other to stay active.
But man, like that cunt had like track sides on track sides on track sides, just everywhere.
You know, I was a fucking mess when I was young, and graffiti helped me through some really fucking tough times in my life.
Hello again, mate. Welcome to episode 100 of Toy Division. This episode is a round table, even though there wasn't really a table, it was a Zoom call, between previous hosts of Toy Division and me. So Mr. TD, Mr. Westline, Mr. Export, and the one and only, who hasn't been on for a fair while, Mr. Keyline. At the moment, all the magazines and whatnot are sold out and or unavailable. Also, this is going to be the last podcast episode for around about 12 months. Need a break, got a lot of other things going on, but hopefully you'll enjoy this four-person discussion, and we even start talking about chodes towards the end. Anyway, let's jump straight in, and please enjoy. Recording in progress. The AI lady is here to eat your balls.
Yo,
oh, yeah, fuck man. Yeah.
So, okay, yo. As you will have heard from the introduction, this is episode 100, 100, the 100 Toy Division.
Woo.
And we have in the house Mr. Keyline, Mr. Export, and Mr. Westline, all in one place at the same time. Although we're technically in different parts of the world. I guess we could probably admit we're in Australia, but maybe I've just burned everyone out there. There we go.
You can go more anonymous than that. You can say we're from the Milky Way, mate.
Yeah, man. I'll just take some mushrooms and just fucking... I'll take loads of ketamine and just float off into the Milky Way and just...
Oi, you fucking want her or what?
Anyway, so beyond just everyone just doing ketamine, I've got some... No, I won't admit that. Anyway, edit that bit out. So this is episode 100, and this is pretty wild that it's got up to episode 100. So I think we should just go around the video conference room and just, how's everyone doing? How's everyone's week been? So, Mr. Keyline, you haven't been with us for ages, so I think you should start off first. How's your week been? How's Mr. Keyline's world?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm just cruising along, living my best life. Just taking it each day at a time, trying to be as mindful as I can. Yeah, man. Just chilling.
That is a good way to do it. Not like me this morning looking at my bank account and realizing I don't look at any of the emails about mortgage interest rates going up. But I stupidly look at my bank account this morning and I just started shouting at the computer.
Yeah, nice.
Anyway, going, I'm paying more in fucking interest than I am. I'm making no debt into my fucking mortgage. What the fuck is this? And now I realise when I was younger, why my parents were so grumpy.
Yeah, I can relate.
Yeah. But anyway, Mr. Westline, how are things? I haven't spoken to you for a while. How's things in your world?
Yeah, going good, man. Pretty much the same as Mr. Keyline, just living life, quarter mile at a time, enjoying it and working hard and trying to paint when I can.
Wow, well, we're done. All right, thanks everybody for that. Literally, that's what we're all probably going to say.
I've got my party hat on for the 100th episode, so just need the party poppers.
There we go, the party pills.
I'll just go fuck myself then.
Yeah, go and drive into a fucking wall.
That's why you're sitting in the car alone.
I was just going to fuck myself.
Well, on that bombshell, on that that real insult, drive yourself into a fucking wall. I don't know where that came from. That's not really what I want you to do. If I hear the car start and just screech and then like a real loud bang, I'm going to feel so guilty. Mr. Export, what's rocking your world at the moment? What's other than
a four month sleep regression is rocking my world at the moment.
Yeah, mad. But,
It's so dope. No, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's just rocking my world. But yeah, pretty much the same as everyone. Hey, like, yeah, dreading opening my my bank account as per you, Mr. TD, and fucking working, eh, and staying alive. I think the world's full of doom and gloom at the moment. So
Well, at least
not
the
so
sun's
much
out.
Personally, but yeah. Oh, it's a fucking cracker day up here, eh? So,
saying that, Mr. Keyline and I are a different part of the continent, so it could be really sunny here and absolutely hammering it down with rain when Mr. Export is, not Mr. Export, Mr. Keyline. Fuck, I'm getting confused. I need to write down everyone's name on a piece of paper.
Jesus,
what is this?
Or something.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
That's name dropping. Like, yeah. Oh, Jesus, man.
Yeah, just say your real names off the screen. Just like, oh,
the
God.
Whole episode's just going to be like, beep, 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 beep.
So, just Morse coding.
Yeah, beep, 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 beep. And it's just the aliens start hearing it. And then before you know it, we're getting invaded by aliens.
Fucking anal probed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. That's all I can hope for. That's all I can hope for.
Fingers crossed.
That's all I need to rock my world at the moment. Anyway. So let's jump into a few questions. The reason why I wanted to get this going, obviously, to get everyone in one episode, but these seem to be some of the most popular episodes because I guess it's just a load of people
having a chat. We're popular people.
Yep. And it's taking a break from me ranting on the solo episodes when I get really annoyed and just start ranting about the world. Some people like that, but everyone needs a break from my views on the world for now. Okay, so first question. Mr. Export, is Cope 2 a snitch?
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm 100%
what a
kidding.
Of a question.
Oh, I'm just
when the
I'm
paperwork
just
is. Look, I think the whole community believes so.
I don't want you to actually answer it. I just wanted to pull out the most stereotypical bullshit story that you see on Instagram, you know, all the time. It's just like. Anything about Cope 2, someone who's got like zero followers and has done half a pen tag in their house is like, Cope 2's a snitch. Okay, so I'm going to redirect it to you. So have you had any magazines or books that have been, you know, up to scratch recently? Because I know you know I have.
Yeah, I had a matey sell his whole collection recently. I copped. Fuck, the original Crack and Shine, the original Moses and Taps book, three zines, a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm really liking what Minutes After Death's doing up in Brisbane. So shout out to them. They're killing it at the moment on the zine front. I'm really liking that the Dirty Deeds got reissued. That's like reprinted. That's been a blessing considering all of mine are thrashed. The little mini zines that Dirty Deeds has been doing.
Stolen my idea, mate. Cool. He stole my idea. He saw the A5 Toy Division zines and he was like, right, I'm going to steal that guy's idea. Because no one else has ever done A5 before, ever.
Yeah, 100%, man. 100%. There's so many people who have stolen them. Hey, like Utah Ether, they stole your idea as well. Couldn't believe it.
And then they time traveled to go back 7 years and did it 7 years ago. So,
yeah. Fucking how inconsiderate.
Let's start calling them snitches then on Instagram.
Oh.
For stealing your idea.
Oh, well, to go back to the original question that I asked, that was originally where the Cope 2 is a snitch thing came from, was that it was supposedly about Utah and Ether and they put up pictures of paperwork with Cope's name on it. So anyway, now I've just delved into
To answer the question, I think everyone is on the edge of their seats for the Unalive zine that's about to drop end of August, to be honest with you. That's going to be fresh.
One.
Yeah, that's going to be fresh. It's going to be really good.
That seems to have been, because I've just been obsessing about the idea there's going to be a Banos book at some point. And then that Suicide zine seems to have just like come out of nowhere. And I'm like, holy fuck, this could be the game changer. Because that...
Open-ended question to that relates to the Banos thing. Was anyone else super disappointed by the Banos announcement, thinking it was a book and then it was just prints?
Yeah.
Or was that just me?
Yeah, nah, I was very gutted.
Well, you got to do something to make your money up for that rising interest rate, eh? I noticed a few of the older blokes are doing that recently. Oh, let's make some extra cash and boom, print.
There you
shots
go.
Fired.
Yeah.
I have to say, I agree, yeah. I mean, making money off years of probably buying paint and risking being jailed and paying shitloads of fines. It's like, what? You're going to make a book or a magazine about all your fucking escapades? That's fucking toy. To answer your actual question, I was gutted because I was convinced it was a book. So I was telling everybody.
Yeah.
I was telling, I think it was you, wasn't it? You and loads of other people. I was like, there's a Panos book coming out. It's happening. I got so, and then everyone's like, it's a fucking print.
You and I messaged each other back and forth, like, get ready, get ready, get ready. Like, I've got approval to buy fucking 5 copies of this book when it comes out. This is going to be fucking awesome. And then it was original paintings and prints. And my wife was like, yeah, no, you're not buying that. I'm like, come on, it's still Panos. Like, I'd still buy one if I had the cash, but fuck, man, a book would have been,
I don't know,
superb.
Why I got myself so hyped up. It was like there was a magazine that wasn't there and I was convinced it was going to be a ranks book, and it wasn't a ranks book. It was just an interview.
That one
was that what I told you was going to be a book as well? God, I just need to know.
Nah, you and I were going back and forth about it, but still dope. Props to Minehead. That's the crew that put that
great
one
magazine
together.
Great magazine.
Yeah,
great.
Dope magazine. Yeah. They did the Crunch Times and there was something else they did. Because they have the Jetso Pisa section in Crunch Time issue 1, I think it is. Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah.
So if I could just pick a little bit deeper into the original Crack and Shine, that's very rare. That is very rare. And again, it's for people like me who are often London centric. I would ask you though, out of all the writers that are in it, is there anyone that you found in that book? You're like, I'd never really heard of them before, but I've now realized, or you'd heard of them, but didn't realize how much they'd fucking hammered it.
I think the sections I sent to you. So yeah. I think the DDS introduction to it is just superb. Yeah. The NEMA section is incredible.
Oof.
And they've got another section in there. I really can't remember off the top of my head. But look, the whole book is amazing, to be honest with you.
Book,
like,
yeah.
To have the opportunity to buy that book in the condition that it's in, I was pretty stoked. It took about 20 minutes of me convincing my wife that this opportunity will never happen again. So...
Bet she's heard that before. Like, this is the only time I'm going to be able to get this. Okay, all right. Just, we'll make an exception now and then a couple of months down the later. But this is another one where there's never going to be an opportunity again. You are right. Finding that book is a good find. So, shifting over to Mr. Westline, sorry to cut you off, Mr. Export, but otherwise I'll just bang on about DDS and NEMA for about 2 hours. Mr. Westline, have you bought any books or magazines or anything you've seen in the graffiti domain where you think, well, that's going to be good?
Yeah, I just copped, thanks to a good friend. I don't know if he drunkenly or just fucked up paying for it, but he purchased 2 of the Ill Side of Town, the Auckland graffiti book. It's documented from 2004 to 2011. That is a fucking dope book, man. It's really well put together. Just the little write-ups, it's not got stories in it where people are just banging on for pages about their graph career. There's just little write-ups from people like Burst, Dapso, and just, it's covered the whole of Auckland really well. That is a dope book if anyone wants to get it. I don't know if you'll still be able to grab a copy because there's only, there was 250 of them made.
I'd not even heard of that one, and I'm just looking it up now, and it looks
it should be on... should be on the book depository.
I've got nationwidebooks.co.nz.
Book depository's ripped. It's gone.
Oh, is it?
Oh.
Yeah. Shut like a month ago.
Oh, wow.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh, geez. Look at us librarians just losing our shit over a bookshop website.
Well, I'm just in the background. You can hear me typing. I'm literally just looking at Artillery Worldwide because the good old Artillery Worldwide, they normally have everything. Or...
No, he doesn't have it.
Doesn't have it?
I can tell you this now. No, he doesn't have it.
But that is where that suicide zine is coming from, though, isn't it? Isn't that an exclusive at the end of this month, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That is a fucking...
His poor fucking server's going to crash.
Yeah. I've already messaged going, any chance I could order, 5 now. It's not even available in a pre-order. Can I get 212
copies? Can the team get a
copies,
signed then? Copy? Yeah, can the team get a signed copy? Is that doable? Can you use your influence in the
I'm
world?
I'm an influencer now.
Do it.
Yeah.
I'm an influencer.
Don't we all like, share, subscribe your shit every day anyway?
True. I tell you what, leave it with me. I'll see what I can do. That would be
awesome. For the boys.
So that one's called, that you just said then, Mr.
The Ill Side of Town.
The Ill Side of Town. I'm going to screenshot that because that looks really good. Yeah. Shout out to all the Auckland lot. I know a couple of people in that part of the world. And yeah, so if what you're saying, it just sounds like it's not too much of just like pages and pages of just like fluffing and sniffing your own farts. It's more.
Pretty much, yeah.
Sweet. All right. Less guff sniffing and more graph flicks. It says here, at the turn of the century, Auckland City's graffiti scene was thriving. The streets were constantly evolving with active graffiti artists, pushing everything from tags to large-scale productions, with the walls showcasing who was getting up and a reminder of who once was. When New Zealand was selected to host the Rugby World Cup, oh, here we go. In 2011, plans were made to clean up the streets in preparation for thousands. Why the fuck do they always do that? Why?
Make it look pretty, bruv.
Is it like when you have people around your house and you run around like a fucking headless chicken trying to tidy everything up because you don't want people to realise the squalor you... You just make it worse.
Why find out the real reason why people actually do anything when you can just have a clean slate by doing things like buffing it? That's just the boomer solution to everything these days, isn't it?
Yeah. That happened to Melbourne, didn't it? Melbourne had the great buff.
Sydney as well when the 2000 Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean,
we lost a lot of good stuff.
And the thing is, when I then think of what Melbourne looks like now, if this is after there was an intense buffing, I'll tell you what, I've been on a couple of the motorways in Melbourne. Damn, I've given away my location. I'm near Melbourne. They are
fucking
hipster. Hard drives.
Get the hard drives down the toilets. Go get rid of the dodgy hard drives. The motorways here in Melbourne are getting grilled at the moment. I'm talking like full color productions, characters. And like a new thing will get built, like a new wall or something, or a new bridge, and then it's just covered end to end. It was really crazy to see, actually. There was two writers, Dank and Draw, who really smashed the motorways, and they've almost inspired everyone else to do it. And people are just killing it. I think that's going to have to be one of the Toy Division magazines in the future, just Melbourne M3 motorways.
Highways.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, shout out
don't
to
forget
the young
humble
fellas.
M1.
Oh, no, don't forget the M1. No, I'm not forgetting the M1.
There's like riders up on the M1 that only paint M1.
Yeah, it's honestly hard to describe because roadsides get done. I'm talking like they're getting hammered and then they get buffed and then they get hammered again. Like certain spots will just get completely buffed and then within about 2 or 3 weeks, it's just completely full again.
Well,
to lead into a question, sorry to cut you off, Mr. Keyline, go for it.
That's all right. I was just going to say of my two Bob, we're kind of witnessing like the evolution of graffiti because I feel like the style thing and techniques has kind of been pushed to a limit now. And after that big buff of the Commonwealth Games, it took a long while. Like a lot of people stopped riding after that because it was kind of like, well, what's the point? Our shit's going to get buffed now. Then we got a new generation of riders after that. And, we're kind of seeing like the new inspired young kids who were like, you know, fucking teenagers when we were in our prime, quote unquote. So it's good to see that they're actually hitting walls. It's like when you see those American mags and videos, how they just randomly paint the side of a factory down some fucking street in the middle of nowhere. We're kind of seeing that here because, you know, a lot of people get staunch about spots and stuff and the buff and... Like, why go paint a fucking trackside that's going to last 2 days before it gets painted grey when you can go the freeway and it'll be up for, like, fucking 2-3 months sort of thing. So, yeah, my 2 cents.
Agreed. And there is...
Sorry, that was going to lead perfectly into my question.
Go on, ask the question. I'm batting in again.
Well, what do we prefer, track sides or road sides? Like, at the end of the day, like, you know, I will agree with Mr. Keyline there. Like, I think hitting a main artery of the motorway or highway or whatever, you get way more exposure than you do by hitting a trackside on a random train line. You know what I mean? Well, like,
Mr. Export, when we were young, mate, none of us could fucking afford cars. But now, like, you could buy a car for $500. Like, I don't know anyone who catches public transport for work or anything anymore. Like, you know,
that's
just the future.
I do, well, but it's only because I actually want to sit. I only want to sit, and it always takes so much fucking longer.
Our residents where we live of demographic is completely different. So, yeah, you can understand where I'm coming from if you can imagine it.
Yeah, it would take you a fair while. Mr. Westline, if to answer, to go into that question then, roadside or trackside, or are you just a roadside person?
I'm with Mr. Export as well. I reckon you get more hang time and, a lot more exposure doing highway spots, and roadside spots, definitely.
Yeah.
I'd be a roadside person. Over back in the day, it was all about track sides. Now it's like, just that more exposure is better.
And like I was saying, there's also then people that will only do trode sides. Track and roadside.
Yeah, okay.
There's a particular very well-known Melbourne writer who's only doing, or is only saying he's keen to do trode sides at the moment. And
true.
And I was like, well, you know what? That's the double hit, isn't it? Because if it's track and roadside, then fantastic.
I must admit, though, there are some pretty fresh spots that are trackside, roadside. So,
okay. Yeah, so the next competition the next magazine is Trode Sides only. Toy Division Issue 5 Trode Sides.
So have fun with that.
So, and then for me to actually answer that, you were like, "Is it track or roadside?" I would say. Personally, I'm still a trackside person. I don't know why. I've still got that love of train lines. But also roadsides. The only downside is if you're the person driving, which I normally am when I'm out and about, I normally just end up having a fucking 10-car pileup because I just completely stop looking at the road for about 2 or 3 seconds and look around. I'm nearly going into the back of a lorry. So, for my own self-preservation, I think that maybe I should just stick with track sides.
I agree. But it's bad when you're driving around. Like, I'm on road all day, and it's bad when you're driving around just, like, looking at roadside spots, and you're like, oh, that'd be dope. And then you're like, oh, shit.
I'll go like, back to that. I'll go back to that. No, you won't. Like, no, you won't. Fuck. No, you won't. No, you won't ever go back there. I'll go back. No, I won't. No, I won't. I'm gonna create a whole notebook of every single spot on all the train lines in all of Sydney. I'm gonna go back and do them all. Did none of them. It's because I'm a fucking.
We've all been there.
We've all done them all. No, we haven't.
Anyway. We've all been there.
So, okay. Well, moving on from magazines and road, track, or trode. So, any trode sides fans out there, shout out to the trode sides.
It kind of reminds me of you saying the word chode. I'm just having a giggle here.
I know. I just think it would be better if they did say chode because they are wide and tall.
I'm a full-time choder.
Never go chode. Never go full chode.
When you go chode, until you've done chodes.
Until you've done the chode side, you haven't lived. You haven't lived until you've done a fucking full top to bottom chode. Okay, so there's been a period of time where Toy Division has been quite incoherent. Yeah, quite often incoherent. I just haven't put that many episodes out, and I know that people then will listen to other podcasts. Now, I just wanted to... The question is, so we'll start with you, Mr. Keyline. Have you been listening to any other podcasts about graffiti, related to graffiti, or similar subjects that have popped up and you thought... I mean, they can be ones you've listened to for a while, but what's been... in your ear holes recently?
To be honest, I seem to have this thing.
What did you just say?
Chode.
You just had a chode in your ear holes.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that's taking it to the next level. It's not roadside, it's not trackside, it's a chode jammed in your ear. That'll stop the noise. Anyway, back to the question. Back to the question.
To be honest, I go through phases where like 12 months I'll like just bang out any podcast I can and just really get in that growth set. But I got to admit, probably the past 8 or 9 months, I've just not been with it. I've just been, I think I'm just trying to reinvent my styles and influences and stuff. I do that with everything, not just graffiti in particular. So I've just been like trying to find new music and that sort of thing, not really in terms of podcasts. Even in terms of books and mags, like I put the foot down at the same time too. I think the last book I got was
Asked you that question, did I? Sorry, mate.
That's all right. The last book I got was Wall Stories, Wildfire, and I got a copy of Razor, Color on Steel, which is my favorite book, by the way. Highly recommend it to everyone.
The other two you mentioned, Wildfire and Wall Stories, both great books as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, I love the early 90s Adelaide style. They're just so much funk in it. So, sorry to disappoint you, but I can't really recommend anything I've been listening to. But just drum and bass, really.
Yeah, I mean, I go through phases where I'll try and find certain things to listen to. And I have to say, at the moment, in terms of like graffiti related podcasts, there isn't actually that many out there. I've been listening to a few, like, I mean, there's been a few more episodes of Bench Talk have come out. But again, if I don't know the artist's name, which is one of the reasons why I decided to make all the Toy Division episodes not say who it actually is, because I look at it, I'm like, never heard of them, don't want to listen to it. And it's, I could probably learn something. But I've been trying to find one, because I found like a Baylor interview on like a street art one from Melbourne. And that was pretty good. But I've been going back to listening to old episodes of Graffiti Machine podcast, because that 100th episode they did, well, it was one of the ones where it was Cub and Bus together. And it was like growth mindset and all that type of stuff. And I found that so useful, that kind of, all that thing about just keep learning and keep doing things. And I just find that sort of stuff really inspiring, because it's easy to get stuck into a bit of a rut with just like, just the daily grind. But
100%. I can't recommend that podcast highly enough. I mean, I don't know if you remember, I had a hiatus from painting for nearly 10 years. And the first piece I did about 3 years ago to get back into it, I started listening to I think I listened to like 3 episodes in the one sitting, and I was like addicted. And my opinion still stands to this day. If you haven't heard any of their episodes, like Bus is doing a fucking amazing job, and Cub, God rest his soul, I mean, like he was just so inspirational for everyone. Yeah. Go check it out.
So I will put that in the show notes for anyone listening, but just if you're listening and you're on Spotify or something, you just need to look up The Graffiti Machine, and your humble Toy Division post has been on a couple, and there's some old episodes with that. And you know, I'm just looking at episode 1, it's like burning the whole spot. It's about how to just basically not be a dickhead writer, about information overload. So there's some really good subjects, and it is just like a grown-up way of talking about things, rather than just like, what's your favorite caps, and is Coke to a snitch? So thanks for that. Is Coke to a snitch? I don't know, and I don't care.
Chode,
just chuck chode in every 2 seconds. Mr. Westline, have you been listening to any new podcasts or anything that's come up or I guess we could broaden it to graffiti media, any new stuff has popped up in your world?
The usual, like Biz Beats and the Biz, props to them. Like,
oh yeah, shout out to them.
Yeah, that's always a good one. The recent one, the Soffles one, that was a real good listen.
How good were those two episodes? I thought they were fantastic.
Yeah, but I did stumble across one a couple of weeks ago. It's called Store Credit, and they had Suffer MTA on it. That's a really good listen, that one. But more people in the world need to be and have that dude's opinion on life. So if anybody's keen, go listen to that Store Credit, the Suffer MTA episode.
I think I was about to go, what's that? And I think I might have listened to that already. It's really, really good, that Suffer episode, isn't it? He just comes across as such a chilled, sound guy. And also just really humble for someone who's actually very, very prolific and well-known. And he put some stuff in there about, like, you know, if someone's... It's all about helping out your mates, helping out the homies, helping out other people, not being a staunch fucking dickhead. And I really, really like that, actually.
Yeah, more people need to be like him, man. Have his outlook on life, that's for sure.
And he tells a very good chase story in that episode.
And the MTA roller stomper where he got everybody out, all the old school heads.
Well, I think it was when he said that how he actually got the money behind it, and he was sending it back. He'd like chuck something on a gamble, and it was like a huge bet on a game of some sort of sport. And I was just like, holy shit.
Is that the episode where he's like, oh yeah, I'm just going to put it on. It was an NFL game or an NHL game or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm just going to put like 500 on it, gets all the buff together, and just gets all
like
the boys.
$5,000.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous. Yeah, I've heard that episode.
And I'll put it in the show notes for anyone that's interested in fact, because that is a really good shout out there, Mr. Westline, because I found that at random. I don't know where I found that, but it was it's really, really good, that episode. And I think Store Credit is, I think they're like a sneaker kind of retailer place or something about that, but I don't know. Who knows? And then, Mr. Export, have you been listening to anything other than obviously all the old episodes of Toy Division? But any?
Oh man, I just listened to like 99 episodes of Toy Division. If you haven't listened to it, like go get amongst it. Pretty good podcast, really dope. Beers Beats the Biz is always up there with something that I listen to, mostly for like hip hop culture. I do need to give them massive props for that Soffles one, though. Like, I think having someone of such stature within our community on there, that was awesome. Really dope insight into, I guess, his creative process and his outlook on life, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you know what really broke my heart, though? Can I just say what really broke my heart when I was listening to the first episode? He was like, oh, yeah, you know, I probably did my first piece, started painting in 1999, and my heart just went, and like shattered into pieces, because that's when I did my first ever piece. And I was just like, oh, God, Soffles has been painting as long as I have. And he's just...
The mystery that Mr. TD is Soffles?
I don't think this is a very accurate English fake accent that I'm putting on top of this.
Yeah, but, it's really good, actually. It's really good. Like, I'm heaps glad that I know you on such a personal level.
Just to make it clear, I'm not fucking Soffles, everybody. So this is how weird rumors start. And Soffles will be like...
Spanner in the works.
Yeah, so just to let everyone know... Throw
him under the bus. Mr. T is actually banned. I'll say, like, get him.
The NOS. where's the book coming out?
But other than like podcasts, man, like I really only listen to music. I'm not a massive like podcaster, to be honest with you. Brad Strutt's been putting out some dope tracks, like he's doing like the triangles and everything like that. Anything new? Nothing really new, eh? Like, I feel like I've hit a nostalgic phase of my life where I'm just listening to old shit all the time. But yeah, no, nothing new, nothing to report, eh?
Well, one thing I did see was that GH Crew recently put out a vinyl version of, I can't remember what the tune was actually called.
Yeah, Fuck Me
right,
GH, Running
with
Mafia
the GH?
Running with the GH, that's a dope fucking graph movie. That's a dope graph movie. If people haven't copped it or watched it, go watch it. It's good. Get hectic.
YouTube is your friend.
Hang on, lads. Hang on. I'm just going to...
He's going to YouTube it right
I'm
now.
I'm just going to YouTube it and just play it at the beginning. I'm going to share the audio. Because it's such a good track. It's like the pirate sample. Is everyone still there?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Tell me if you can hear this. Losing you a little bit, but you're all right.
Ready?
The pirates are gathering to fight.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
You're a pirate.
If we don't stand together, they'll hunt us down. One by one, none left.
The last pirate.
Gentlemen, hoist the colors.
Hoist the colors.
Hoist the colors.
Hoist the colors!
The wind's on our side, boys. That's all we need.
Yeah, it's that fucking scallywag, scallygoat. Face the raw beef in the open seas until my belly floats. Northeast celeb, never catch me on your telly though. Roll dope GHC in your telly ho. Blaze up, stay drunk, go hard or fuck off and never make love. In fact, I generate hate.
In fact, I generate hate. Nice. I just love the sample being raise the colors, boys.
Yeah, they recently done an interview on another podcast, didn't they? One of them did an interview.
Yeah.
I don't know what podcast it was.
Melbourne-based podcast, and I can't remember.
Yeah, 3,000 or something.
Because let you in a little scoop. There might be someone that you're talking to right now who's going to be on that in a couple of months.
Oh, so, fuck yeah, man.
And I will be covering my face. I'll be covering my face with a shitty bum wipe rag, just revealing the face chode.
A shitty bum bag. Is that what you just said?
No, a shitty bum rag.
Oh, God. Yeah, I got my Nautica bum bag in full effect.
I've got some toilet paper on my face, yeah. Just really pushing the limits. I nearly bought a copy of the other day. I saw it and I was like, oh yeah, I should have bought that on vinyl. And then I realized like, I buy stuff on vinyl and it just sits in a fucking cupboard and I never play it. So it's like, oh.
Bruh. Yeah, me too. But like, I've got all these early 90s hip hop records just sitting in the cupboard and I might get them out once every 3 or 4 years and I'm like, fuck, original pressing of Gangstar, Hard to Earn, or, you know, like, all the other albums. I'm just like, yeah, I love this shit. That's the nostalgia phase you want to go through, just pumping out those vinyls.
Don't even talk to me about records, bro. My record player broke on my move, and I've just been so lazy that I've never bothered to replace it. But I keep buying records. This is like the fucked up thing. It's like I keep buying records and I'm like, yeah, dope, got it. But I can't listen to it. I don't know why I'm buying
that shit's like crack. And it's like everyone's selling vinyl again, but when you look at the prices in like JB, you're like, fuck, I'm gonna get back into racking, and then you're like trying to work out how to shove a record down your pants.
Well, they're just ridiculous. Like, the price of vinyl now, because it's become cool hipster fucking stuff. It's like, oh yes, I really want to go to buy some vinyl. I knew someone who lived in London. To be honest, she's a fucking prick, so fuck her. But she bought a load of records because she was like, oh yeah, vinyl's back in. Didn't even have a fucking record player.
Wow.
Just wanted to have them in her house.
She sounds a bit like me at the moment.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not a complete cunt, so.
Oh, okay.
And also, she bought a pair of glasses that didn't even have proper lenses in it, just so she could look intelligent with glasses. And I was like, when I was younger, I always get bullied for being a fucking specky cunt. That is my... Do not start stepping in thinking you're cool. I was a fat fucking specky hip-hop kid who got rinsed, buying fucking records, wearing glasses. That's my world. Leave it alone. It's not cool now. That's my world. Leave it alone. That's my fucking childhood trauma and bullying trauma. Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm going to cancel you. The other thing I have been finding funny at the moment is on Instagram. I kind of got into the habit of trying to actually debate with people on Instagram again. And now I'm just like,
why the fuck would you bother doing that?
I know. The dumbest fucking thing. One thing is like the internet imploded.
How bored were you?
Very. Where the internet just imploded, and Andrew Huberman? That's a podcast I would recommend. If anyone has any interest in like just being a human being, check out Huberman Lab. Amazing podcast, very inspiring.
but I think it was, I think Huberman went out for a steak with Joe Rogan and the internet just like imploded in on itself. Joe Rogan's racist. Joe Rogan's the right-wing supremacist. And why I thought I'll just leave some comments to that. It was just like, why? What am I doing? How am I going to convince people that Joe Rogan is just basically a UFC fan comedian who's pretty chill that just has a real wide right? No, he's a racist. He wants everyone to die. One guy was like, how can you back up a person that's killed more people than Hitler?
What?
Like, Joe Rogan might have some opinions, but I don't think he's done more people in than Hitler has. Anyway.
Caused a genocide, eh? Fuck yeah. Me.
Anyway, I didn't know. Anyway, Mr. Levels. Westline, levels of genocide. Mr. Westline, have you noticed any writers in your area who are either smashing it or just started popping up here, there, and everywhere?
Ooh, I don't know if I want to give props to anyone in my area at the moment, to be honest, but I did do a flying trip back to Sydney lately.
Oh, yeah.
Not going to tell you where I went from, but I did notice one person up and he's absolutely smashing, and it's Raygun. He has Sydney on lockdown. That kid, I don't know where he's from or where he's come from, but yeah, that kid is fucking owning Sydney, eh?
Yep, I agree. And actually, there's quite a lot of Raygun stuff here as well in the UC. But when I've been back to Sydney recently, you know, some people might smash one area, two areas. There's ray gun stuff in the areas where there's not normally any graph.
Yeah.
Like the
and he's in the stupidest spots too. Like, it's just like, how the fuck is he actually Spider-Man?
Maybe that is the big secret. Maybe it's Peter Parker. He's just fucked off the superhero stuff and now he's just smashing. Yeah, so shout out to Ray Gun because Ray Gun has destroyed it. It's like Ray Gun and Skint. Is it? There's often skin stuff with Raygun.
Yeah.
So one thing I would say about the Sydney scene, every time I've been back, it looks very healthy at the moment.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of cats out there fucking smashing it.
Because when I lived there, it wasn't like dead, not at all. But, you know, the buff was so hard on the train lines. It was often like nothing would survive. When I was back last time, it was just like tavern, 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 Ernie, tavern.
Bro, you got to give props to Tavern, man. Like, if you watched his recent video of Welcome to Sydney.
No, was it good?
It's fucking pretty good,
oh,
eh?
Shit. Like, yeah, I have seen that. It's like, it's basically like a collection of just all of his fucking track sides and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, man. And like, the cunt kills it, bro. Like, he's got to be one of the oldest Sydney heads still just pumping it, man. Like, I went back to Sydney a couple months back. Oh, last year, actually. But man, like, that cunt had like track sides on track sides on track sides just everywhere.
And it's been interesting.
Oh, man,
you
pull into Central Station and you can't even look left or right without seeing two or three tavern pieces.
No. And one thing I've really noticed is, like, tavern then has, there's a break piece next to a tavern, or multiple break, B-R-E-A-K. Is that right? I can't even fucking spell.
Yeah.
B-R-E-A-K. And then there's some fibs pieces. And then it's almost like it's just... Yeah, and and you're right. It's not just like one here, there, and everywhere. It's like full color productions with a character. I remember seeing a tavern piece that had like an UFO character next to it with like a tractor beam and a dog being lifted up next to it. And then right next to that, there's another tavern full color piece next to it.
Yeah,
so yeah, shout out to
crazy.
Tavern.
He's the fucking disciple that the internet generation needs. You know, just full colors, chromies. He was in Hype magazine when I had them back in the day. He's in the KFC movies. Like, yeah, he's fucking doing it proper.
Brilliant.
And I'm glad one of you guys brought him up to give props because he deserves it.
Yeah, so shout out to Tavern. Shout out to Raygun. Who should I pick next? Mr. Export. Who in your area or where you've... Don't have to say exactly your street, but who have you noticed anywhere in that entire world?
In Humble Abode Avenue. Man, I've got like a sticker game on lockdown, Humble Abode Avenue. No. Look, man, I'm gonna give props to I don't even know if they're a young fella. But like, look, there's been this bloke up my ends that's trying to do 100 pieces in a month. Props to him.
In a month,
he's killing it.
I tried to do that in a year once, and that failed horribly.
Yeah, well, look, I know a lot of homies of mine that are trying to do 100 in a year. I'm at like 40 something, and even I feel burnt out from it. So 100 in a month, like, I can only imagine how much financial abuse and fuel abuse that is on like your mode of transport and your wallet.
I guess that's why you're assuming they're quite young, because I don't, well, I would say it's like, oh, we're old, we don't have the time, but I know there is people of a certain age. Yeah, anyway, I'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh, like, look, having a, being in the position that I'm in with a newborn, there's no way that I reckon I'd get 100 pieces done in a month.
Looking after your kid instead of going out painting at night, mate. Come on.
Yeah, I know, it's fucking weird, eh? Like, I can't believe it. Like, I thought she would have taken care of herself by like 4 months. But
why is she not doing the fill-ins for you, mate? Come on.
Yeah, I know. Fill-in dad's throwy. Come on. Yeah.
Baby's first brain damage from fucking inhaling paint fumes without a mask. Like, I swear I've seen
from export chrome.
Yeah. Oh god. I've seen a photo.
She's not
somewhere.
Huffing, she's just filling. She's fine.
I've seen a flick somewhere. It's a dude in France somewhere with like a burner chrome doing a train with a kid in like a backpack.
Oh my god.
And it's just like, fucking mate, hell. What are you doing, mate? Jesus Christ. I know there's the need for steel, but come on.
Mrs. went out for dinner with the girls. Dad's like, fuck yeah, like, this is a perfect opportunity. Baby's asleep, we'll go paint whole cars.
Well, I can't remember what podcast I heard it on, but someone was talking about when they had their newborn, just going, oh no, it was a documentary, I can't remember the name of it, I'll find it and put it in the show notes, but it was all about Philadelphia graffiti. I might have shared it with some of you, and it was one guy who was just like, because you know in Philadelphia it's all about the bus routes, or routes as they call them.
Yeah.
And one guy was saying he'd be out at like midnight, 1 a.m. with his newborn in a pram. This is like, oh, it's the perfect cover because you've got paint. And I'm like, yeah, but you're taking your baby out at 2 a.m. to paint, you nutter.
It is actually the perfect cover because
my
daughter sleeps at 2 a.m. So, I mean, like if I could.
Is that you trying to do 100 pieces in a month then? Is that you? Is it? Shit, sorry, have I ruined your...
Fuck no. Fuck no, I'm not motivated enough for that. Like, but so, you know, good on him. Like,
I think it's amazing. It's an amazing goal,
mate. I think you've done well at fucking 47. I think I've done 4 this year.
Yeah.
Oh, well, like, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, you got to do something. I'm just doing none. So you're all winning. I've done 2, but 6.
No,
six.
You've sent me photos of at least 10.
Oh yeah, true. Anyway, I'll just, because I can't remember anything these days, so I've probably done 150 in the last week and can't remember.
Oh yeah, oh, and that whole train that you did, the on-platform whole train. Don't forget that.
Don't forget that. And then Mr. Keyline. God, what's your name again? Who have you been seeing around? Who has jumped out for you in your neck of the woods and or dimension?
Yeah, I can only speak for like the southeastern suburbs because I kind of just been hanging around here for a good hot minute. But a couple of the younger blokes doing it. There's Insta, Pivs, Hossep. Yeah, just, you know, you said Dank and Draw before, definitely them. They're all giving it a red hot crack. It's good to see the young blood getting up. They've probably done 1,000 in a month, eh?
And then I'm gonna give my so in my world again, it continues being the person who writes Jacuzzi, because that is just crazy, the spots that are getting done. Also, Baylor with the rollers. Baylor's rollers are just bloody everywhere at the moment, which is, and they're not just like one or two colours. It's the kind of thing where you do a roller yourself and you're like, yeah, I did a roller piece. And then you see a Baylor thing and it's like 25 colours and about 400 times bigger than something I did. Anyway, and then also, I would say on the motorways, highways, whatever, he, so H-double-E, and I was just thinking, it's he, because there's just so many.
Maybe it's Michael Jackson. He's come back out of fucking hiding.
Yeah, there we go. Because there's never just one he piece. It's just like three or four in a row. Just like he. And also another person, Optics. Optics has been doing some really, really good roadsides, and I'm talking like full color burners. So that's always good to see.
Shout out Optics and Jack. I see them putting in the work down Melbourne ways. I mean, I don't know where they're from, but like, yeah, down that way around there.
One of the roadsides I saw the other day, one of the Optics ones, was like a full color, like four or five color green, and yeah, just fucking, just upping the fucking ante for people, isn't it? It's like, okay, well, if you can do that, I'm going to get this done, and then this, and then this, and that's what a healthy scene needs. Just people just being like, oh, I can do this, I can do this. Oh, also, Kuba as well. K-U-B-E-R has been smashing it. Him and his guys have been doing some really, really good roadsides, like full color productions with characters. And I swear there was one with like a samurai character, and there was another one with like a Bart Simpson character. And they're just, yeah, smashing it. And also just showing everyone else up, because we're all just like, oh, I've done like two legals. Anyway, shout out to them.
On that jacuzzi topic though, yep. Did you cop the Extra Terrestre magazine with his little or their little section in it?
Only saw it this morning, and I think it's sold out.
Oh, yeah.
Bit disappointed with that. I should have been like, excuse me, do you not know who the fuck I am? I'm some fucking anonymous twat that does a podcast. Get me a fucking copy.
Could they? That'd be dope.
I don't know. I'm gonna be trying to get four copies of the Suicide one signed, aren't I? I need to just try and pace myself.
Yeah, there's gotta be perks to this shit. Come on.
Yeah, so I mean, because they look like they've been putting out quite a few zines, actually. I'd only just found it this morning. And it seems like they're kind of putting them out pretty quick. I'm just looking it up on Instagram.
The Extra Terrestre guys?
Yeah, because it's like an actual...
Are they the ones that did My Life Story?
Not sure.
They did My Life Story, Living Proof.
They're fucking dope.
Yeah, they're dope magazines, man. Like, they did one with Third's Crew. I could highly recommend that if you can get your hands on it.
Do you know the name of the publisher, what they are on Instagram?
Extra Terrestre.
Is that actually what they're...
Yeah.
EXTRA_Terrestre, I think. Really testing the graph.
Oh, okay. So EXTRA_TELEST. So yeah, they've had Living Proof magazine. They've had... there it says, welcome to Extra Terrestre Publications. We strive to make quality Australian graffiti magazines documenting writers through their own unseen photos. Ooh, holy shit. That looks pretty
spicy, cool. Hey? Spicy.
Unseen photos. That's the key, isn't it? And then I see they've, there was an issue with, it's sold out now. Extra Terrestre presents Saddle Tramps. A 60-page A5 color magazine with over 150 photos documenting 8 years of good times between two buds. Each magazine's come with three hand-drawn eggshell stickers and free shipping and tracking. That was sold out. Damn. God, that looks good.
Bum, bum.
This is the thing now, is that there's so many... I think people have probably seen that a lot of people... It's actually quite easy to publish a magazine, really, isn't it? It's like... Well, it sounds easy. It's a fucking stress, but it's not as hard as you think. And all those unseen photos that are just sitting in people's shoeboxes or on hard drives or USB sticks, people need to see them.
Oh, I reckon I got all my flicks scattered over SD cards, multiple USBs, shoeboxes of photos, other friends' photos.
Oh, I need to.
Yeah,
I
it's hard to keep track, I reckon.
I get them all developed now because I reckon I've got about 100,000 flicks, digital and printed. Whenever I speak to people, they're like, oh, let's do a mag. And then you get all excited and have that energy. Then you lose traction and you're like, it never happens. And you're like, okay, well, I'm just going to hoard flicks still.
Yeah, but just do it with me, mate, and then it'll actually happen.
Okay.
I'm just churning out magazines left, right, and center. So if anyone hasn't picked up the latest issue, the Toy Division number 4, Melbourne Rollers, you know where to find it. Well, it's on the Big Cartel. The next one is either going to be, I told someone when I was a little bit drunk that I was going to do an issue and it would be 100% Glasgow Metro. Now that was one of the hardest fucking systems to do, and I bet
I thought it was Chodes.
Chodes, just a whole.
I thought the next one was Chodes.
Goodbye.
Yeah, well, everyone's going to get the wood with that one. So, okay, so there you go, chuck it in. He's still got it. So last question, I guess. So, Mr. Westline, I keep dragging you back in. Sorry, mate. What do you reckon, personally, you're working on with your own painting at the moment?
What was that, sorry?
What are you working on with your painting stuff at the moment? Are you pushing for new styles, you know, trying to do something different? What's going on for you with painting at the moment?
Just trying to get up, stay active, to be honest.
That's a very good start. Just trying to stay up and stay active.
Work gets in the way, and then it's the get home. You couldn't be fucked going out. But yeah, trying to fit at least one or two in on a weekend, if not once a weeknight. But yeah, haven't really been pushing anything but other to stay active.
Yeah, keep it going and get 100 done in 30 days. Oh shit, no, it's I've revealed your secret.
Damn it.
Mr. Export, what about you? What are you pushing other than trying to get over sleep deprivation?
Good question. I'm just trying to push myself, hey? Like, I feel like if it hasn't become apparent, I've become apparent. And it's that absolute I feel so inspired when I'm a parent, and I'll sketch and I'll do all this, like, and I've sent them to you, like, just, you know, crazy sketches, blah blah blah, but then I go to paint them and for some reason, like, I'm not inspired to do them. I'm like, oh yeah, no, I can't be fucked doing this. So it's trying to keep myself connected to graph at the moment. I'm pushing myself to, when I rock up, to be bothered, because I feel like every time I'm going for a paint, I'm not really bothered with it. Like, oh, I can't really be fucked doing this. Like, I don't feel fulfilled. So yeah, to cut a long story short, just trying to find the fulfillment in graph again.
Yeah,
would be what I'm trying to push.
Yeah, it's it can be a weird one, can't it? Because it's like just doing the same, not the same thing over and over again. But I've really ducked into characters recently, and also really trying to get back into full color sketches where I really, really take my time. Because I went through a phase of trying to make all my pieces just look really messy, intentionally, like just quick, intentionally messy to be different. And now I've kind of gone past that, and I really want to get down to really getting good at pieces again and being really taking my time. And also I want to learn how to do like landscapes and stuff like that, like proper backgrounds, because I've got okay at characters. And at first that was really fucking hard, but actually, I'm finding now that it's really inspired me to just continue on. And I think re-listening to that, well, not re-listening, but listening to the 100th episode of The Graffiti Machine just reignited a motivation for me, because it's just like a never-ending quest to just get good at things and enjoy it as well and realize it's not just about always being good at stuff, because otherwise you just can't you learn more from an error than you'll ever get from just doing everything right. So, and I'm not bad.
Yeah, 100%.
So, anyway.
100%.
You've
lied to me.
Mr. Keyline, what's going on for painting at the moment for you? You said you've been, what's going on for you?
Well, just touching on Mr. Export, I completely feel him. I mean, you know, my kids are a bit older than his, and for me, that kind of inspiration just like really ebbs and flows, and I really struggle to get myself motivated. And it's also finding the time to as well. But I'm always pushing myself, challenging myself in terms of style when I draw. If I draw, like I said, it's the motivation to draw. And I always want to come up with different and new ideas. I've been working on some things here or there, but I like to challenge myself creatively and not just graph, but in other things like, you know, just whatever it may be, whether in music, work, you know, I do models and stuff as well. And just because the time's so lacking, but in terms of graph specifically, I'm just getting more and more clean. Like, you know, I used to be a big New York and Lego cap fan, and now I'm transitioning to the banana caps. Shout out to the MTN Universal cap. Just getting more clean. And yeah, like, I don't know. I just, every time I rock up to a wall, I get these ideas to do different stuff. And I just seem to always revert back to my, the same sketch, and it's not a bad thing. And I have been focusing on cleanliness a lot, but I really feel it's time for me to move on from that and start getting back into experimental. I mean, the reason why I graph, like, from when I started back in, I don't know, 2004 or something, I did it for a completely different reason than I do now. And it just coming into terms with that reality check and being like, why am I actually doing this? And, you know, headspace for me is a massive one, obviously, you know, being out there. I mean, we went out a few weeks ago, and there was that point where no one said a fucking word to each other for an hour, and we're just all in the zone. I mean, that's what it's all about for me. And just working those lines and the color selection and stuff, and it's just puts you back in that zone. But like I said, doing it for me now is like my time and really challenging myself in what I want to do and achieve. I don't know. Do you have anything to add to that?
I don't have anything to add. I think that was just very well put.
Yeah,
really,
yeah.
Really well put.
How nice is the my time though? Like when it comes to painting, and I think a lot of writers might relate to that as well, is that it is your time. Well, there's so much going on in life, and whether you have an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours or whatever to take away, it is your time. It's your peace and quiet. It's your moment to have in life. And I think that's a really, really important thing to remember as well. I think I wholeheartedly agree with you, Mr. Keyline, that especially at the moment, you know, like painting for me, and I feel heaps bad because, you know, I'm not hanging out with the boys as much as I want to, and I'm not getting out there and socializing as much as I want to. But the moments that I do get to go have a paint, yeah, I don't want to have those complex conversations or anything like that. It's being around everyone for that hour or two of like absolute peace and quiet, but still having a yarn and still talking shit and still being out. That's really important.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, socializing. The social thing is a huge thing for me.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to talk shit. Mr. Westline, have you got anything to add on top of that about the social component and, you know, just getting out there and doing stuff?
No, I agree with Mr. Export. Like, he's a new dad. I've been there. I'm at the same stage as Mr. Keyline. My kids are at the age where I can go out. I can paint whenever. It doesn't bother me. But the key thing is, like, it is good, like, because you do get your my time and you get to hang out with the boys, and it's a good thing. Like, I've got to say, like, I had a discussion with someone on the weekend when I was in Sydney. They didn't know nothing about graph. Like, and they were just like, oh, why do you do this? Like, don't you think it's, like, pretty shit? Like, you know, like, people judge you. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I have the best friends in the world because of graffiti. I cannot see one of my best mates for months, even years, go for a paint with them one day. And it's like we've been together for days on end. It's just that connection with the boys. You get to live it, you get to have it, and you enjoy it. And it's just, bang, you're done. You go home, you feel accomplished. You've been with the boys, you've had fun, you've had your time.
Would you also say, and that's Word. Yeah, that's a really good point, would you also say, obviously, getting older, social interactions and times we are actually interacting with people get less and less and less? And it doesn't 100%. Mean you don't hang out with people, but it's like, well, hanging out with mates, going painting is, and also I'm very lucky in that I get to actually meet new people, as we probably all do, you know, that person you've never painted with before, and then you get on with them. You know, I've just hit 40 years old, and very rarely would I be developing probably friendship groups or friendships with people, because I work for myself. I'm not going to start being like mates with therapy clients. And it just means that I can continue developing. Yeah, why not? Why can't you just be really inappropriate?
Why not?
Yeah, just roll your clients. But it's like, you know, talking about moving to a new city, like when I moved to Sydney, I hardly knew fucking anybody. And by the time I left, because of painting, I knew a fair few people. And now I've moved to Melbourne, and thankfully I had a few links already, but I've got a good friendship group. And I think 40 years old, that's often when people are not making any new mates. Like, well, not intentionally, but there's just so much to painting. And I think that what you were saying, Mr. Westlam, and people are like, oh, it's just a bit shit, isn't it? What's the point of that? I just think unless someone's a writer that's been doing it for a fair while, they just don't get any of it. It just seems like a dumb, stupid fucking thing. But there's so much more to it.
I have these conversations, like, I get to work on a Monday morning and we have a chin wag and everyone's like, how was your weekend? And, you know, you just come off the back of painting like a fucking burner with the lads. And, like, some people I talk to, I'm like, yeah, I did this. I have a show. And they're like, that's sick, man. And other people, like, you just wouldn't give the light of day to tell them what you did. Because, you know, they just wouldn't understand. Like, you know, they look at it for 2 seconds, go, that's sick. And when you spent, like, 3 hours and, like, $200 worth of paint, whatever, on it. But, you know, I don't really do graph for others anymore. I just do it for myself and to push myself. So, like, that's why I do it now. And as Mr. Westline said, like, you know, especially now that we're getting older, when you see the lads, and because you see them so infrequently now, but you still have those amazing experiences, that camaraderie you build up with them just gets stronger and stronger and stronger every time you see them. And it's just like, you know, boom, like, I would trust the boys with my life because we've been through that kind of shit together. Do you know what I mean? And 100%. Shout out to Tilter, a writer I was having a talk to one day in Melbourne when he was doing illegal. We were just chatting because we both have kids similar age and stuff. And he's just like, you know, you go see these fucking parents at school time and you can't tell them you know, what you did on the weekend. You can't tell them you snuck off and did a panel or whatever or a wall. They just don't fucking get it. And yeah, he's 100% right. And like, I struggle to talk to people sometimes, especially those slaves to the system and whatnot. Like, they just don't get it. And that's why meeting with the boys and stuff is very important for me. And people actually relating to how I feel, because I'm not the best communicator of my emotions and stuff. But, you know, other writers, they just get me straight away. So, yeah.
100%, man. Like, normal people are boring as fuck as well, man. Like, I don't know how many work interactions you've ever had, but, like, fuck me, man. Like, normal people are so boring. Oh, there's one young coworker, and like, fuck, he loves having a yarn. And you just like, bro, you are boring, man. Like, you need a hobby. Like, what do you do? Oh, I do this, I'll do that, or, you know, fuck, man, you're boring, bro. Like, go get a hobby.
I love those big colorful pieces, but God, I hate that tagging shit.
Oh, yeah, like, but, yeah, and you'd experience it, Mr. Keyline, like, fuck me, man. Like, you go to work sometimes, and people are like, yeah, bro, like, just got on the piss this weekend, and I've done this, I've done that, and you're like, you're boring, cunt. Like,
yeah,
please fucking go live life a little bit. And then, like, obviously, like, you got people that live life too much, and you're like, bro, you need help.
Yeah, or you, then
you need help.
You then have the kind of thing where, you know, I don't really have this anymore because I very rarely will talk to people about painting when it comes to work. But, you know, like, I don't know, my granddad, who's not always the most chilled person anyway. He came to visit him, came to visit Melbourne, and I just had some magazines and stuff out, the graffiti magazines, and had one of my photos, and he just looked at me, and I thought he was going to go, oh, wow, you got pretty good at that. He just looked at me and just went, you're still doing that dumb shit, are you?
Yeah, I reckon I've copped that one from like a dozen different people.
Technically, yes, I am still
doing that. Man, I copped that one from my own dad. Like, you know, my own father's like, oh, you still do this shit, do you? And you're like, yes, I do. Because it gives me fulfillment. Like, please.
You still do this dumb shit,
dude. Dad, if you were there.
Yeah.
I'm going to critically analyze you on a life point, but I can't believe you still do this dumb graffiti shit. Thanks, I appreciate it. Like, this is so nice. Thank you for being a part of my life.
Thanks, cheers. Well, I guess the other thing with Bembe is to then talk about. So, Toy Division's going to go on a bit of a break after this episode. After episode 100, I think it's going to be about probably about a 12-month gap. So, I'm finally going to have a little break.
Wow!
And then it's going to come back with
not only a year hiatus.
Yeah. I want to get Toy Division back to 3 episodes a week, going up to episode 1000 when I was probably going through absolute fucking mania.
Remember that one time where you told me you were like, I'm going to do 100 episodes in a year?
No, I said I was going to do 1000 in total, and I was going to do 3 a week. COVID mania. It's actually pretty wild to think back to that, because that wasn't even really that long ago. And man,
can we bring COVID back?
Bring it back.
Can we bring it back?
Back
can
again.
We lock those mundane cunts down again, bro? Like...
All those mundane cunts you just mentioned—they're all the people who like act like nothing happened and don't want to talk about it. And I'm like, no, let's. You remember when you supported blah 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 and this and that? Yeah, go fuck yourself now.
Yeah, remember when you were...
Can we bring it back?
Yeah, can we just bring it back? And just
up
bring
in
back...
smoke.
Can we bring it back?
Reunion tour.
Like, I don't know about you guys, man, but like... Oh. Yeah, and just, have what?
Just bring it back.
I just want to see Dan Andrews on TV every day again.
Yeah, me too. I just want to be able
man,
to...
Man,
pedophile cunt.
I just want to have to go to places with mates and then work out if we're going to be able to sneak them in like contraband because they haven't got a fucking certificate that they've had a fucking death jab or something. That would be good, wouldn't it?
No, I want to be able to walk the streets. I want to be able to walk the streets and no one else is out walking.
Yeah, that was
they're like, I'm too scared
that
to
was sick.
That was good. Yeah, bring that back.
And you're like, yeah. Like, bring that back, man. Like, oh, we're going to go paint track sides and no one's out tonight because, like, everyone's way too scared to be outside. And you're like, dope. I love this.
Or,
like, can we all just be outside again?
Or one of our mates, Mr. Keyline in Melbourne, who tells a story about when he was literally out for a walk on his own and some woman pulls up in a car on her own with a mask on going, where's your mask? You gotta have a mask on. You but and he just literally went, fuck off, you stupid cunt. Oh god. You've got
Can we bring it back? Can we bring it back?
to be honest,
how do we bring it back? Do we all just cough on each other and like just call it a day? Like, no, should we all just like fly?
We can spit in each other's mouths.
Yeah, this is escalating fast.
Yeah, righto, Chode.
Bring out the Chodes.
The Chode pile.
Bring out the Chodes, lads. Yeah. Well, we bring out the color Chodes.
COVID. Yeah,
not gonna risk
but,
it.
But you know, when you have a Chode, it's fine.
Yeah. You've got the ultimate weapon. You don't need any backup. I think the thing I kind of miss from when COVID was a thing, even though it's still a thing, but suddenly now. I mean, a mate told me the other day, well, he's not really a mate, I only met him once. He probably fucking hates me. That he went for a job interview the other day.
Best friends.
I'm going to call him out. Is that SBS? Is that as the TV network, isn't it? He was like, oh, I went for the job interview.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, just out of interest, just before we, you know, try and make a decision, are you fully up to date with all your boosters?
No, fuck off.
I'm not going to work here, you fucking Nazis. Jesus. Oh. Anyway. So the question will be, because that
on the Chode note.
On the Chode note. Sorry to get hectic.
Yeah, I forgot the question.
On the Chode note.
I didn't actually get to the question. I just kind of started. I was just saying. That's why. As three of the co-hosts, which is what you guys are, the lovely co-hosts of Toy Division, what would you like to see Toy Division? What would you like it to go back to the original toy stories of when people started? Do you want it to be 4 hours of just complete insanity? What would you like to see happen with Toy Division when it does come back? Because it will be back. It will always come in back.
An episode of just chase stories.
All right. Okay. I'm just going to type that into the list.
The most Jesus epic chase you've
had. Epic chase stories. All right. I'm literally writing this.
Adrenaline's pumping already.
Just on the vision. Flashbacks. The vision board, eh? Like, Chode's chase stories. I got this shit on my bro. It's all good.
God. I once had it where I was very, very high on pingers and my mate was just being really fucking weird and he was going, imagine a Chode just smoking a cigarette. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, imagine a Chode just with a ciggy, just like jammed in it. And what was really fucked was my brain was so mashed on pingers that it was almost like I visualized it in my mind and then it was stuck in my mind for about a month. Fucking Chode penis with a ciggy smoking, just hanging out of it. And it's just brought that back. I'm having horrible, terrified flashbacks. Anyway, just really
you'll be right. You'll be right. You'll
thanks.
Be right.
Sorry to.
So you'll live.
So thanks, Mr. Westline, for that. I think an epic chase episode would be pretty good, actually. And then
epic Chode story.
Epic Chodes. This has just turned into a Chode. The Chode Mafia. Mr. Export, what would you like to see or hear? Because you don't want to see
apart from Chodes.
You don't want to see Chode smoking a cigarette.
Look, I just want to see the boys get some discount codes on some really good publications. So if there's any publication groups out there that are listening, Mr. Export needs his fix, but like he's pretty broke, so.
Well,
be dope
just
if you could just like hook him up.
Just to remind everybody,
that'd be sick.
Just to remind everybody, there
oh,
is.
Oh no, I've already used the code so many times; it doesn't work anymore.
There is codes for different companies though, so it
doesn't work anymore.
Which ones? Which ones don't work?
All expired. Man, it doesn't matter. Like. You make so many email addresses, it doesn't work anymore. They see through it. Trust me.
Oh, okay. All right. Because
but yeah,
was...
no.
Different codes.
What
for
I would like to
chodes.
See.
Different codes for different Chodes.
Yeah, different.
On road with a Chode.
Different Chodes for area code.
Oh,
the
man,
Da Vinci Chode.
To this for as long as they're coming. The Da Vinci Chode.
The Da Vinci Chode.
The Chode
streets. The Chode. Chose the streets. No.
Chodey Foster.
Okay. Everyone just chill out. To see... I would love to
here.
See Toy Division go back.
Sorry, my I'm laughing so much I'm having to turn the microphone off.
Cunt's just laughing about chodes. Let's take it back to its roots of just like absolute genuine conversations about chodes and graph. Like, I think we need to all hear about it. We need to
hang
all
on,
hear
hang
about
on one
all
sec,
those people
hang on sec.
That like,
hang on, Vaughn Chode.
Oh yeah.
Done.
Chody.
Chody Foster. Sorry, I can't stop now.
You guys are pretty
Chode out.
Someone busty one. Chode's gonna listen to this and kill himself.
Let's keep it on track. Books, magazines, Mad Graph Tales. I wanna hear it all. I wanna hear everyone that is enjoy their graph adventure. I want to hear people that haven't enjoyed their graph adventure as well. Like, I want to hear those like unsuccessful tales, man. Like, I want to hear about that poor kid who just got absolutely pummeled and bashed for being a graffiti writer that turned himself into something or herself into something. Like, I want to hear the success that like stories. I want to hear the unsuccessful stories. I want to hear about graph. Yeah, I want to hear about it because it's something that we don't get to experience, you know. Like, I mean, I've personally experienced it, but other people have as well. And I think that's the most important thing about a graph podcast is that, yeah, okay, you can get all these big names on here and you can do this and you can do that, but sometimes people only want to talk about their successes. They don't want to talk about their pitfalls and their rock bottoms and their moments of absolute like terror and disheartening moments. Let's hear about it. Like, you know, I'm a writer that's been through it. I'm sure we're all writers that have been through it. Let's talk about it. Let's be a community that goes, hey, look, like this culture is dope, but also remember that this culture can be pretty fucking cutthroat, man. Like, you know, it's not just the culture. Like, that's just life in general. So,
well, that's a really good point. And
let's hear that next
that.
Year.
Can I just give you, someone sent me a direct message saying, shout out to everyone that sends me direct messages because it's quite often and it still boggles my brain. And someone was like, I've been listening to the podcast and it's really good. I like the honesty about it. And from my experience, graph heads don't talk about much other than writing. So it's really validating. And that's a nice message.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And also I can't
put on this act.
Well, I think the other thing is I just don't want, well, I can't stop it, but I've been told that it's helped people's mental health to hear us talk about this stuff and to talk about it as like, not just like, oh, I'm here to represent my crew and this team and beef this person and beef that. Like, beefing with people is sometimes it's necessary, but it's just like, fuck that shit. Fuck that noise in your life. Like, come on. I just want to chill. I don't want to be like going down the shops and getting someone shouting my word at me and getting fucking bum rushed by like three people who I maybe went over them once. It's like, fuck that.
Yeah.
100%. On that note, though, I'm going to have to leave this conversation because I have a young lady that would like to hang out with her dad.
Well, I think we're all going to have to... I'm going to go and get the barbecue ready because I'm doing a barbecue this afternoon.
Such I want to take thing. On that question.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Export, you duck out.
I gotta go.
Much love to you, and go and
much
be the,
love.
The amazing dad you are. Take it easy, bro.
See you, mate.
Stay, bro. Peace.
Peace. All right. Then there were three. Okay, tackle that question. What do you want to see? What do you want to see?
Touching on what the boys have already said, I really think that talking, just, you know, the unsuccessful, successful missions. I love that hearing someone's story about being a toy, how they got there. Doesn't matter what brand it was, just how they got their first set of paint. for a piece, going to that wall. You know, just I just imagine some young lad with the twinkle in his eye. You know, that just excited buzz we all get when we first start out, and you're like, I'm gonna fucking crunch this. And then you do a piece, and you know, say you're using your fan tips on the export and it's absolute shit, and you're like, damn, that sucks, but I'm still gonna try and I'm gonna do it again and again and again. I just love that energy you hear from those stories. And I just love the roundtable discussions like we're doing now. Like, it's so good to hear from others that it's helping people. And like, you know, I did an interview with you, and then one day you randomly hit me up and you're like, oh, do you want to jump in a convo with me and we'll touch on a few things? And from there, we had a few episodes after about mental health and graffiti and stuff. And like, I just absolutely, like, my intention that I set off starting out with those conversations was like, you know, I was a fucking mess when I was young, and graffiti helped me through some really fucking tough times in my life, even though stuff like beef really, and, you know, cops and that really fucked with me even more so. So for me to talk about it and feel better and knowing that other people got something out of that too was like so inspiring for me, even to this day. Like, knowing that we're helping people, or we're like building bonds with people we don't even know in the same situation, is just like incredibly insightful. And I think we can all agree that's why we do this to this day.
100%.
Nailed it. Mate, you've dropped some absolute truth bombs today. Like,
yeah, fuck yeah. That's what it's all about, man.
100%. That I couldn't have said that better myself, I don't think. Just exactly what you said then. I was a complete fucking mess when I was younger. Tick, box ticked. Box ticked? No.
To say that from me is like an understatement. Like, I didn't even know what anxiety was, but I just thought, like, I was nervous and shit all the time. And then, like, you know, I got into some beef and that, and now I've got friends who are really encouraging, and they're like, oh, you should post all your old stuff on social media. I'm just like, nah, man, that's going to cause a world of trouble. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, that was like 20 years ago. And, you know, it's just knowing
it kind of seems that like I'm yesterday, help. Though, doesn't it? That's the thing I...
You know, it does.
Yeah, it's mad. Like, I can't believe I'm 40. It's fucking mind-bending.
Yeah, just knowing that, like, I could potentially be helping someone who's in a similar mindset, or helping them out of it, or even just getting someone to vent to someone else. And it's just, you know, it's really helpful.
Well, I would say, even though I said the podcast is going on kind of like a hiatus for a while, the reason why is to actually really plan how to make Toy Division expand even more. I just don't have the mental brain and or time to do that at the moment. But the feedback that I've got about the podcast, and the feedback I've got from people all over about how it's been helpful, still makes me just feel so good about it. And to just bail on the Toy Division platform would be, I think, a bit foolish. So there's lots of plans in the pipeline, and we'll see how that all goes. But thanks so much to the both of you as well for joining in today. And yeah, I'm hoping that this episode will be out in a couple of weeks, but I'm just actually going to stop recording. So big up to Mr. Westline, big up to Mr. Keyline, and big up to Mr. Export, who's just ducked out to go and look after his newborn, which is obviously way more important than this shit. And I'm just going to stop recording. So that's episode 100 of the Toy Division Graffiti Podcast done and dusted. Massive shout out to Mr. Keyline, Mr. Export, and Mr. Westline for co-hosting with me. As I said at the beginning of this episode, this is the 100th episode, but Toy Division Podcast is going to be on hold until September 2024, so in 12 months' time. But if you'd like to continue supporting Toy Division, go back and listen to old episodes. You know, there's 99 other episodes all about physical and mental health, graffiti, meditation, resistance training, etc., chronic pain episodes. And if you'd like to support us, the best thing to do is go to buymeacoffee.com/toydivision. That's buymeacoffee.com/toydivision. and donate a few dollars, pounds, sterling, euros, whatever you feel. But thanks to everybody that's ever listened to an episode, shared episodes, given positive feedback. It really does mean a lot, and it was something that really kept things going, especially during the COVID-19 madness, where I pretty much went insane. And you never know, if I raised enough money and got my shit in order, maybe I could work towards 1,000 episodes. But I think now is the time to put this thing on pause. And yeah, just keep an eye out, though. Go to Toy Division 2 on Instagram, because there is going to be more t-shirts and magazines and little projects like that. And yeah, if I don't see you there, I'll see you in September 2024, when I'll be back jamming weird chode related puns into your ear holes. Anyway, peace out, Toy Division.